Hi, this is Kip Laxon. I want to welcome you to Faith Matters Today. Thank you for joining me for this podcast. As you know, if you've been following along in the last few episodes, I'm doing a series on the hymns of the church. I've entitled this series, Hymns Matter, the stories behind the songs. And today I'd like to begin, as I continue this series, with these words from the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46 is one of my favorite of all the Psalms. Hear these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the bow. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the 10th verse of this famous chapter of the 46th Psalm, the psalmist declares, "Be still and know that I'm God." You know, stillness is not associated with our modern world today. Everything is in a rush. There's a hustle and a bustle all around us, and it's hard to find stillness. The psalmist challenges us to be still and know God, to know that God is God. And it's important that we find places of stillness. Some of us find that stillness of spirit through a regular devotional life. Early in the morning, most days, I spend time with my wife in reading scripture and sharing in devotional books together. I have those that I read, and she has those that she would read, and we read them aloud together, reflect on them, and talk about the day. And when I miss those opportunities, either because I'm traveling or something else is going on in our life, I always feel that there's a void, there's an emptiness, that my day and the responsibilities of that day seem to be out of sync or somehow out of order. But if I can just spend a few moments, a few minutes, usually 30, maybe 45 minutes we spend together before she gets dressed and heads off to school to spend the day with her kindergartners, or I get dressed and head off with my responsibilities and pastoral duties of the day. That stillness helps us refocus, kind of recalibrate our life and center ourselves in God. And it gives our day a certain purpose. It kind of brings things in sync throughout the day. And that doesn't mean that everything in the day goes as planned. Rarely does. But there's a buoyancy to our spirit. There's a strength of soul. There's a purpose to each step we take throughout the day. And then we're reunited again in the evening. This seems to be that the day had meaning and fulfillment, regardless of what may have happened, because of that stillness of the moment that we spend. For us, it's the early morning hours. For others, it may be the evening time. I encourage you to find that moment, those times in life, to the best of your ability. Some people use their lunch break in the middle of the day. And a great resource that I recommend to anyone and have for years is the devotional classic, The Upper Room. You can find that online, or you can have them mail you a little devotional book. It has a scripture for the day, some devotional thoughts, some reflection, and a prayer. And it helps you kind of pull together the randomness of your thoughts and the rustle of your mind, and helps you focus. I think that's what the psalmist is driving at in many ways when he speaks about be still. Just catch yourself for a moment. Step back. Take a break. Disconnect from the business of the world and focus just a little while on God. You know, this 46th psalm is the background to the hymn that's entitled Be Still, My Soul. I want to talk just a few moments about this hymn, and then I want to share some spiritual applications for you. And what I want this hymn reflection to be is a devotional for you really today. So use it and pass it along to others. Be still, my soul. Six times in this 46th psalm, the psalmist uses this phrase, be still, my soul. And the hymn writer uses it six times in all three stanzas in this hymn. This text was originally written in German, first became known in 1752 by a woman named Katharina von Schlegel. The original hymn contained at least six verses, possibly more. Many of those are lost to history or have not been translated into English. There are only three that I'm aware of that have been translated from the German into English, which is why in our hymnals today, there's normally only three stanzas. Not much is known about Katharina von Schlegel, and this is her only hymn that I'm aware of that's been translated and available in English. She was born in 1697 in Germany, and she was known to be a part of a Lutheran convent in Kothen. The English translation of this hymn was written or translated by a woman named Jane Borthwick. She remained faithful to the best of her ability to the original German text and its nuances and meanings. And she placed it with a tune that has a very captivating melody. It's lifted from a choral-like opening to the symphonic work known as Finlandia, which was originally composed by a Finnish composer named Jean Sibelius. The first hymn that appeared in English, or the first time this hymn, Be Still My Soul, that appeared in English using this Finlandia tune was in the Hymnal of the Church of Scotland, published in 1927. And it has appeared and does appear yet today in many hymnals throughout the Christian tradition, including in my own tradition in the United Methodist Hymnal. This melody, it's soothing, and it has a solemnity to it. And it fits perfectly with this scriptural text in the 46th Psalm. And this psalm was the background, of course, to the writing of this hymn, though we don't know what about it inspired Katharina von Schlegel or what was going on in her personal life that inspired her to write the hymn. Be that as it may, the music surges in gentle waves. The hymn has phrases that rise in the middle and then settle back to rest. It's almost a musical rendition of how we often live our lives, from the mountain peak experiences to the valleys below, to the lightness in celebration and to the heaviness, perhaps, of grief. This rhythm of life, of the ups and downs, is captured beautifully in the melody and the words of this hymn. With this hymn as a backdrop, and the 46th Psalm as a lens to look at this hymn, I want to offer you three principles that I draw from this hymn, and I'm going to use the three stanzas translated into English that are most well known to illustrate these principles. The first principle, perhaps, is the most obvious. Be still. The hymnist writes, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, God faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end." You know, life is filled with trouble and tribulation, but when we still our souls and listen for God in the midst of the chaos and uncertainty, we can find a sense of peace and joy that can transcend anything we might face in life. I love the line in this first stanza, "Leave to your God to order and provide." The ordering of life and the provision of life we leave in the hands of God, because ultimately that is a mystery. And the great trick of life is to think we're in control, that we've got it all together. We know exactly what to do, when you and I both know that's a lie. We don't. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we've got life by the tail, and we know how to cross the T's and dot the I's, and we can take care of things. We can fix things. We are in control, when in reality, it is God who is at work in ways that we cannot understand. The invisible hand of God's providence is at work that transcends our comprehension and can boggle the mind when we look back over our shoulder and see the ways in which God has been at work. But if I'm not stilling my soul, if I'm not being still, it's hard for me to have the time to look back over my shoulder and see the footprints of God in the sands of time and know that He's been walking right along with me in every way. So I'm going to leave to God to order and provide, and I'm going to go forth trusting Him, finding God in those still moments. Be still. The second principle is to be smart. The second stanza in this great hymn says, "Be still, my soul. Your God will undertake to guide the future as an age is past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be right at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know the Christ who ruled them while He dwelt below." There's a wisdom that is to be found in these words. Your hope and your confidence, let nothing shake. True wisdom is found in placing your confidence in God, who you know has been faithful in the past and will again, in spite of what we may or may not fully understand, be faithful in the present. And that means we can have a wisdom about the future. To put it succinctly, I can trust God because God has been faithful to me in the past. God is faithfully in the present with me. And therefore, I can trust that whatever happens in my life, down the road and around the bend, that same sense of God's presence can be with me. God has not brought me to this place. God has not brought you to this place, your place in life, to abandon you now. The faithfulness of God brings about a wisdom to us in the moment to say, okay, God, wherever you're taking me, whatever it is you're calling me to do, I'll trust you. I will have my hope and my confidence in you. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. Be still. Be smart. And then the third principle that I draw from the third stanza in this hymn is to be strong. The hymnist says, "Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last." There is a strength for living that cannot be found within ourselves. But there is a strength in the name of the Lord. God alone provides the strength we need. Getting through the going through of disappointments, grief, and pain is what God is there to do in our hour of greatest need. If we can but still our souls long enough to listen, to learn, and to long for the presence and the company of God. And this is a great place to begin, to be still and know that I am God, to be smart about it, and recognize that the God of the past is the God of the present and the God of my future, and then to be strong in the moment to know that disappointment, fear, and grief do not have to define my life. They may be realities in my current experience, but that is not the end. That is not all. There will come a time when all of that will be past, and I will find myself in the blessed eternal presence of the Lord. There's a strength that comes in knowing that and resting in that. Many people have said to me, across the years of ministry, where can I find the strength to get through this tragedy? I think of standing beside the bed in a hospital with a wife who had no idea that that day would be her husband's last day on the earth. They were young, life laid out before them, beautiful children. He, in a tragic accident at work, was electrocuted, and there he was, a lifeless body. We gathered together for prayer. I comforted the family. She said, how can I find the strength to go on? But you know, she would, not from anything I did or said, but as she relied upon God to get her through, she and her family would thrive and they would move forward. They would find places of ministry in the life of that congregation and they would find blessings. She would say to me sometime after that, she said, you know, I found the strength. I didn't know it then, but I found it. And God has been with me all the way. And then she added this. I thought it was quite profound. She said, for a while, I thought God had somehow cursed us, or that this was some part of God's ultimate plan that my husband would be electrocuted that day on the job. She said, I don't have the answers to those questions, but what I do know is that in the midst of all of that, God has been with me. She would testify that those dark nights of the soul that she went through would be times in which she would become more aware of God's presence in her life than she had ever had before. That's just one of many stories I could share with you that speak about the stillness of spirit. What are you going through? What is happening in your life? Things may seem hectic to you at the moment, or all the pieces of the puzzle seem to be missing. And you look out ahead and you wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? The psalmist would say that God is there, but you have to get quiet enough, still enough, smart enough, strong enough to really discern what God is wanting to show you, what God is wanting to teach you. I do not believe that God sends us tragedy to get our attention, but I do believe that when tragedy comes, it's an opportunity for us to become aware of God's presence in a way like we haven't in the past. I don't think God causes bad things to happen just so we can make sure we're still on track in trusting Him. But I do believe that when life does go off the rails, it is there that God is with us. And the God who has been with us all the while will be with us in those difficult moments. You see, the truth of the matter is, we know that God works all things for good. Not that all things are good, but in the midst of life's uncertainties, God is working. God is there. Be still. Be smart. Be strong. Strength for living is not found in you or me, but it is found in knowing the living, loving God who is there with us always. Here's a prayer for you today. Take it. Take it to heart and pray it. I based it on Joshua 1:9, and if you don't pray any prayer for the rest of this week or the rest of these days, claim this prayer. Loving God, help me to be strong and courageous. May I not be frightened or dismayed, because I know that the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. I look forward to joining you next time in this podcast, and I want to thank, as always, those that have helped me make this possible, Brett Smith and Ed Temple and John Redman, and the Muncy Church family here at Muncy Memorial United Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. I encourage you to come and join us for worship one Sunday, either in person here at the sanctuary or via the live stream worship that we make available. And as I said earlier, I say again, pass this podcast along to your friends and loved ones. Something I say or something we discuss together may encourage them or help them on their journey or inspire them to strive for all that God would want them to be. As I say often, I say again, I would rather attempt something great for God and fail, and do nothing and succeed. So do something today. Take this and use it as a word of encouragement. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For truly God is with us wherever we go. Until we're together again, I pray God's richest blessings upon you and upon your family. I look forward to joining you again very soon.